We shall never discuss it again. That's never. Never again after today.
It never happened.
It did not happen. You're exactly right. That's the exact way to put it. A game that never happened, a game on Saturday that does not exist anymore. 3-0 RSL in Sandy, Utah. Ridiculous weather conditions, right? Ridiculous. But it's a game that you just, Mario, I said it then. I have been saying it since. It's a game you just forget.
It's one of the worst sporting events I have ever seen. Those are the words from LAFC head coach Steve Cherundolo, right? After the match. And I agree with you, Steve.
Yeah.
It is impossible to play in any type of football in those conditions, Dave. And it's a different sport at that point. It's a totally different sport at that point. Now let's take a listen to Steve's post-game reaction after the game, after that loss in Sandy, Utah. Yeah,
real quick. Just for the haters who want to turn us off right now already, some of those MLS fans who already hate LAFC, but they listen because they love this show, stick around, okay? You're going to hear Steve, then you're going to hear us explain a little bit more, okay? It's not all like, oh, we shouldn't have played and this is terrible and like, okay, just hear us out.
Here's Steve after the match.
I'm not sure there are any positives other than we didn't have any injuries. It was not difficult conditions, impossible conditions. An absolute joke that we had to play today. Not safe for the players. One of the worst professional sporting events I've ever seen in my life. I feel terrible for the players. We put them through this. Game could have been and should have been called many times beforehand. In my opinion, an absolute disgrace that we played today.
There you
go. Who can argue with that? I mean, everybody's arguing with it, though, around the rest of the league, Mario, right? So the black and gold, we know, we just want to play on an equal footing at RSL. Look, that team's capable of beating LAFC. They did it last season at BMO Stadium, right? I'm expecting a good match. It's not like, oh, we're just going to go in there and destroy RSL. We've had a lot of success against them in the past, don't get me wrong, but they did. They beat us last season on our home turf, so I want to get back at them. There's just no way to play. And, you know, everybody will say, I mean, look at that. Everybody will say, well, they had the same. Yes, credit to RSL. They get 3 points. The match was played. It counts. Yeah. It's over.
A lot of frustration there. Yeah, for sure. A lot of frustration.
We're never talking about it after today. We're never talking about this one again. And I'll tell you why. As soon as we do this, right? Welcome to LAFC Plus. I'm Dave Denholm, the voice of LAFC on the English side. This is Mario Rees, my producer on LAFC broadcasts, co-host here. Hello, Mario. Good to talk to you, brother.
Good to talk to you, my man.
Here's why we're never going to talk about it again, because you can't take anything from this match.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, RSL gets 3 points. All credit to them. They earned it. That's fine. It's a game on the schedule that somehow everybody decided we should play a couple hours after we were supposed to, allegedly because of safety, right? That's what they told us there. Like, okay, that's fine. And yet you see on the radar a massive blizzard coming, and that's supposed to, like, what about the fans who have to drive home in that?
Yeah.
I mean, is there no safety concern? Like, I mean, it's just, and I understand they got to get matches in. So from Steve Cherundolo's perspective, he's got to say what he said. I get that. But from the league's perspective, it's like, yeah, you're both playing in it. We got to get this game in. Oh, there are some considerations beyond LAFC. I get it. But so in and of itself, again, for RSL, people who hate LAFC or hate our podcast, whatever, oh, you're just whining, you got the full 3 points. You deserved them. It's going to count. In May, we're not going to remember this. But I'm never talking about this game. There's nothing to learn from it. I didn't learn anything about RSL. I didn't learn anything about LAFC. So we move on. That's just the bottom line, right? It's just ridiculous circumstances. And again, I like what Steve said because he's out there defending his players. You know, which is good because if you just watch this or if you don't watch the match, you just see the scoreline. You're like, oh, RSL got just thrashed LAFC. Well, who cares? Like, there was nothing to be taken from it.
And RSL is a team that LAFC typically does very well against. LAFC were 14-3 all time against RSL in all competitions heading into that match on Saturday.
Yeah.
So that is a huge 3 points to drop just like that when the club is going for trophies, that the club is going for supporter shield this year. And you break that game down on tape, I don't think so. You can't analyze anything this week going into at training. You can't even look at that tape. Now, Dave, there was one highlight from LAFC in that blizzard, if you can believe it, over in Utah. And that is this right here is the debut from not only Thomas Angel, of course, the Colombian, and the young 18-year-old from Venezuela, David Martinez, also came in late in the match. And here's how that sounded on 710 ESPN. Of course, you, Dave Denholm, on the call.
Coming in for LAFC for his first appearance for the Black and Gold, David Martinez. Wow, welcome to MLS, 18-year-old from Venezuela. And also Tomas Angel will make his first appearance, the son of former MLS great Juan Pablo Angel. Coming in for LAFC for his first appearance for the Black and Gold, David Martinez. Wow, welcome.
So there you go, Dave. Yeah. There it is. And that is actually the very, very first time David has ever even seen snow, let alone playing in it. That's his first time ever seeing it in his life. Wow. That's you can amazing. Only imagine what's going through his head walking onto the pitch, making his debut. He's like, this is what I got into. This is the MLS. Not only the travel, but also the weather.
Call my agent. I'm out of here. Yeah, it's like, can we play all our games in LA? We wish. But I got to say, that almost makes it worth it that was the first time he's ever seen snow. I almost don't mind now that we went through that just for that. That's pretty cool. I wonder if
don't worry, David. It's going to be 70 and sunny on Saturday at BMO Stadium. So don't worry.
Yeah, you're going to be fine after this. And if you can play through that garbage, you can play through. I almost didn't want you to, like, let's just burn that, whatever that is digitally. Just don't ever play those bites again. We don't want to hear about this game.
Understandable.
We're moving on. We're moving on. We do have some interesting stuff that was happening over the weekend, Mario, before the match.
Yeah.
As much as rumors can be interesting, I think everybody in sports kind of gets into them one way or another. One form or another, you kind of always have your ear or your eye on rumors floating around because a lot of times where there's smoke, there's fire, right? But some interesting rumors were catching my ear and eye over the weekend about Carlos Vela, of course, San Jose. I'm here to tell you officially, we have no, like you and I have no idea what's going on, right? We are not privy to those things. I don't even want to know. I'm not a journalist. I'm an entertainer. I broadcast, right? I don't want to know these things. I'm not
asking. It's a private matter. A lot of respect on both sides. We know that, of course.
Yeah. But it was floating around that maybe he was going to sign with, you know, he's getting close with San Jose, and some very reputable reporters were hearing stuff. So it's not like, I mean, these are rumors as it turns out, but like not, you know, these weren't just made up out of thin air. So there were some things that, you know, floating around by reputable sources saying that maybe he was, you know, possibly no deal was done or anything. But as we're doing this show, right, a beautiful episode number 3 here, no deal is done. You know, we hadn't heard anything going on for other San Jose or the latest of LAFC still, you know, involved potentially. So we'll just have to put that on the back. I think everybody panicked a little bit and, you know, it's understandable that people are waiting on the edge of their seat for something, but no news is good news, I guess, in that sense. You know, it didn't happen over the weekend like everybody thought it might. Boy, what did happen, I got to tell you. You know, people wonder, like, well, one of the things people talk about, Mario, who don't like MLS, is like, oh, it's all about Messi.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the match that he played over the weekend against Orlando? Because if you did, you know why people are talking about Inter Miami. 5-0 over one of the best teams, and I still think they are, Orlando City, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, a tough conference, one of the best teams in MLS. And Inter Miami, yes, they were on their home turf in a derby. That helps, home pitch. But, man, it was just lights out from minute one, essentially. And Inter Miami rolls 5-0. What a performance. And honestly, I'll even say it's the best performance from a newcomer in MLS this week, Luis Suarez. Now, no kidding, it's Luis Suarez. He was not going to be held down for long. So it's not like he's some newcomer to the world of football. Obviously, he's a legend, but in MLS, he hadn't really gotten going yet overall, like fully. Well, he's gotten going. And of course, Lionel Messi was on the receiving end of the last one. He scored a couple of goals. Suarez, 2 goals, 2 assists, looked really sharp. Robert Taylor, Julian Gressel. I mean, that whole team really played well. And Orlando was a mess. Don't get me wrong. They won't play that badly probably all the rest of the season. But Mario, how do you stop that train if it gets rolling? I mean, what do you do with that?
It gives you a glimpse, right, of what they can be like if they are fully healthy and everybody is rolling on, you know, going on full cylinders there. And, Luis Suarez, of course, it's hard to think of him as a newcomer, but for us, he is the best performance from a newcomer in MLS for obvious reasons. That is that first-time finish from Suarez on that first goal. That was just clinical, Dave. Suarez actually was so unselfish, too, in that match.
Exactly.
He was on the hat-trick. He was on the hat trick, decides to make the pass to Taylor for Miami's third goal. Yeah, easy pass, the right one. And then his cross to Messi was just a thing of beauty. He's actually leading the entire league in assists, Dave. What a match from Luis Suarez.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, you brought it up. That pass, to me, changed so much. Not in that game, but just for Inter Miami going forward, too, that he just dumps that ball off when it could be all about him. And if they're playing like that, if they're playing unselfish like that, I mean, they have enough talent if they want to be selfish. It's Messi, it's Suarez, they can do what they want. You know, I mean, they got free reign, essentially. I mean, you can't call Lionel Messi selfish. He's that good. But if they wanted to be selfish occasionally, you would understand. But if they start playing unselfishly like that for Inter Miami, oh, forget about it. We're going to be talking about him a lot. I mean, sorry, best team performance of the weekend. Forget your RSL in the snow, 3-0. And it's not even close, right? I mean, this is like a thrashing of a rivalry, a rival team in a derby, you know, in a big match where everybody was thinking, you know, Orlando City could be really something here, you know? So not even close. I mean, just an absolute thrashing. So some real football played. There's been some real football played around the league. But also, as you know, on this show, LAFC Plus, we don't just stick around with football. We got to talk about, you know, some of the threads, right? Like I'm pointing to me. Like oh, I actually know what I'm talking about.
Is that a new black shirt, Dave? That looks pretty fresh on you. Is that a new one? Shirt?
No, this is number 28 out of the 36 I think I own or whatever it is. So this is number 28. Fine.
There you go.
It was clean when I went to shower, so I just grabbed it. Here's the thing, Mario. When it comes to this stuff, we're getting a lot of feedback about the show. That's great. We want to hear more. Okay. If you watch it on YouTube at the LAFC YouTube channel, leave us a comment there. If you were everywhere else, or if you want to hit us up on Twitter, I'm at Talk Soccer. Mario, what's your handles on all the socials?
At I am Mario Ruiz. At I am Mario Ruiz on Instagram and Twitter, or X, whatever they call it these days.
Yeah, it's true. And for me on Insta, it's my name with an underscore in the middle, Dave_Denholm. So find us there. Give us your comments, good or bad. Look, if you're a fan of LAFC, we love you. You're probably a fan of the show. You know, I would imagine you're loving, you know, like there's not much to hate about it for an LAFC fan. But if you're around the rest of the league, you don't agree with what we say, or if you, whatever, we can take it. I've been in radio for 35 years, Mario, for almost that much. And we can take the criticism. So we just want to hear from you. Feel free. Again, if easiest way, I guess, if you're watching the YouTube, you know, YouTube channel of LAFC and you catch this show, just comment there too. We might even bring some up here. So just be forewarned, we are going to use them potentially. So, you know, plan accordingly. And again, it doesn't all have to be praise by any means. We don't mind. But we do want to check out this football fit check. My first one, Mario.
Yeah.
I got to say, I was super pumped for Vancouver's first match, not because of the way they play. The game was kind of boring, if I'm being perfectly honest. It was kind of a lame 1-1 draw. That's the goal scorer, Ryan Raposo, in that match.
Ryan Raposo, nice goal.
Mm-hmm. And Vancouver's got some talent, but it was their first match. They're not, you know, rolling yet or anything like that. But a pretty decent match. But here's their jersey, right? And I was so pumped to see this jersey in action, because you had talked about it in the original Football Fit Check back in episode one about how you want to wait to see them on people. It's not just a kid on a, you know, it's not a kid on a piece of paper or on a digital, you know, on the computer when you see a photo of it. You want to see it in action.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I still like the jersey, but I like it a little less.
Oh, I like it a little bit more.
Oh, okay. Now, I'll give you a chance to guess why, although you're probably not going to be able to guess why I don't like it as much.
I have one reason that I have a little bit of a, you know, not a problem, but something that I noticed a little bit different than the first time that we checked out the jersey in episode one. I noticed something a little bit different. Yes. Go ahead. Let me get yours.
This, to me, again, you're right. It doesn't ruin it. I still like that little white thing, this little piece of white fabric, right? The color right under his armpit.
Oh.
Now, when it's it's sitting there, you don't see it. Like, let's say it's a jersey that either a guy's wearing and he's standing in a photo shoot.
Yeah.
But or it's just a picture of the jersey if you're buying it online or something. Unless they spread the arms out. You know how like sometimes they do that? Like with the, you know, I guess you can't see me too well. So but you don't see that white, right? I never noticed that. And that's not like something in the this picture is not like that's not like a, you know, something just kind of a, you know, like it's not really exist. It's kind of a something in the photo behind him or something, right? That's the jersey with that little patch of white under both armpits, the armpit white. It's like, this just takes me away from the, it takes away from the jersey. Why are you doing that? It's too much, Mario.
So I can actually see what you're saying there. And it kind of brings me to my point is in the pictures that we saw, the promo pictures that we saw, there was white socks that went along with this kit here.
Ooh.
I don't know if you remember. So if those white socks are on this, it brings that kind of white under the armpit area there and brings it all together.
Yes.
Just to have that white there, just the only piece of the whole kit is just that little underarm part. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But if they had the white socks like we initially saw in the promo pics, that would be pretty sweet. Now, Raposo, of course, is looking good because he's, you know, just had a goal. He hit the Sui. This is a picture of him running and doing the Ronaldo Sui, which was kind of cool after his goal. So, I mean, he's going to look good in that. But, yeah, I think the socks, they should have been white, Dave.
No, I see, that's where I disagree. I think the socks look great.
Okay.
But I don't, like, I don't think the white socks save the little white thing on there. I can see your point, though. I hadn't thought of that. But if you just take away, like, right now in your mind, as you're looking at that photo, if and if you're, you know, listening to this podcast, there's a little white, not even... It's just weird. It's not even the whole length down the jersey. It's just kind of like a, here, we're going to catch your sweat underneath your armpit with this white fabric. To me, if that's just all the same color as the front of the jersey, that blue, that beautiful blue, looks incredible. But with the socks, like if, imagine if that's just all blue and then the socks fit, like this would be a top class kit as it is. Ugh, a couple of notches down for me. I got to be honest with you.
Well, there was another team that debuted their kit.
Unpleasant surprise. Yeah, very unpleasant surprise by that one.
How about Portland here? Portland with their Nature Unites kit. This is kind of interesting here, Dave. This is different. This represents the natural beauty of Oregon and the club's dedication to the environment. As you see the trees on the side there, that looks kind of cool. It's actually the Timbers' first kit without the Alaska Airlines logo in the front. Alaska Airlines, of course, as we all know, has been the club sponsor for 13 years since the club debuted in MLS. So, I mean, that's kind of cool with the trees there. But that got me thinking, what if LAFC did like a third kit with the iconic palm trees somewhere on the shirt? But it has to be done in a subtle way, you know, because it can get kind of tricky there. But yeah, though.
Yeah, here's look. Your opinion matters more than mine in football fit check. I'm just going to tell you my opinion. Like, it's it's not because I sports hate Portland with the passion of a thousand suns, right? They're the most awful. I sports hate them. Okay. I don't hate this jersey, but it's overrated. That doesn't mean it's bad. Michael Jordan was overrated. Okay. You heard me right.
Whoa.
Right? Okay. You can even argue Michael Jordan's the greatest athlete of all time. He was still overrated a little bit. Okay? So something can still be great and be overrated. This jersey is good. I like it. But everybody's falling all over this jersey. It's the greatest. Yeah, I mean.
The off-white. You know, it's not white. It's kind of like a beige.
A cream color. Yeah,
the cream. I love that. And the right color green with the trees. And the trees are not too crazy popping out. It's just on the sides, around the outline of the jersey.
I like it. I don't love it. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's overrated a bit. But that doesn't mean it's bad. Because you can even still say, you know, like, it might even be one of the best kits. It's just still like everybody's talking about it like it's the greatest kit in the history of soccer. You know, no, let's not go too far with it. But very cool. I mean, it's still the decent look. So,
yeah.
And that's hard for me to say. As you know, I don't appreciate Portland and Portland Timbers. youth movement time, Mario. Let's go back to this mess. And here's the thing. We can't really – I was going to talk about Diego Luna. Wanted to see him play. Yeah, yeah, wanted to see him play because there's going to be a lot, you know, finally see him live. Now we got to wait till July 17th at BMO because we can't learn anything about it. Yes, David Martinez and Tomas Angel got a run. Okay. But even that, I mean, and Martinez showed some ideas as much as you could. Like, you could see some flashes because he was on the ball more, you know, had more chances than Angel with the ball just because Angel was trying to be up front. LAFC were blasting it, to, you know, through that horrific weather. But you could see some ideas. That's fine. But you can't really glean anything from any of these guys. Eric Duenas got some run. That's great. You know, Omar Campos struggled, I guess, like tripped, like kind of got like lost his footing in the snow and in the sleet and whatever on the first goal. I thought it was Aaron Long because I could barely see, right? At first, my apologies, Aaron. It was actually Omar Campos who was trailing in that play to try to defend because Long and Murillo were up a little bit closer to the ball. And Omar ended up just slipping. I mean, it's like, how do you like, everybody's like, oh, you know, like this guy played great. And I mean, okay. Andres Gomez had a couple of goals and an assist. Good for him. They get the 3 points, but you can't like learn anything negative about anybody in that mess.
That was Campos' first time seeing snow as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, who cares? It doesn't mean anything. So I can't even, this segment, which we love, and we will focus more on other players around MLS with the youth movement. They're starting to develop some, you know, there's some names out there. Even a guy like Luna, though, Fidel Barajas with RSL. Now I got to wait to see him in person on July 17th at BMO Stadium because this game meant nothing. And that, I still want to talk more about it that way. We're never talking about it again, but I'm still so frustrated that I had to bring that up again that it ruins the segment today because there's just no point. David Martinez, what would it have mattered if he never got close to the ball? There was a foot of snow everywhere. Who cares? It's just stupid. So again, there are some young players around MLS who are going to have a big impact, no doubt. And we're having fun with it today, but we will, you know, keep our eyes and ears open. But one segment we do love is the old Let Him Cook. And I got a great example for this one, Mario, I think.
Yes.
You saw, holy cow. And it just so happens to align with, you know, one of my picks of the year, if you will. Wow. That goal from Lorenzo Insigne against New England Revolution, maybe a little bit against the run of play at the time, and wonder goal. I love that phrase. Whoever came up with that phrase, it fits. And I don't really say that in my broadcast too much. I think you probably know that, right? I don't use that term so much. But this was a wonder goal from Lorenzo Insigne. Just getting into the box, it kind of reminded me of like a right-footed Carlos Vela shot.
You know, yes.
Like Vela good from call, the left, Dave. Right? Yes. He sees the keeper, has too much time. The defense is nowhere near him. They can't close him down fast enough because he's that good. And just picks out the back post. But it's not like I'm going to blast this. It was a beautiful chip. Nothing the keeper could do. And in fact, if you were watching on the Apple, you know, MLS season pass like I was, it was so perfect how the director went right to a shot of the keeper who was just sitting on the ground like amazed. His jaw essentially dropped after it, just like flummoxed about how did that just happen? And it was because it was such a great, let him cook. Let Lorenzo Insigne get on the ball and you're in trouble.
And he was cooking all game long too, Dave. The touch just to settle the ball there at his feet. And if you notice, the ball was just spinning a little bit, but it was there at his feet, but it was kind of rotating a little bit still.
Good call, then the
class to finish it right where he wanted it on that top bins, far post. I mean, if Insigne gets cooking this year, that's a potential MVP, Golden Boot candidate right there. And like you said, Dave, another strong performance from Toronto this week. And it goes for whatever, you know, you called that in episode one, that Toronto was going to be a strong team to look out for.
Long way to go, right?
I'm trying to be humble. I know you are. That's you, Dave, but I'll brag for you.
I'm the most humble man in the world. You know that. I'm the most humble man in the world. It's been a bit of mine for years. But yeah, you know, what I saw this, first of all, too, they made some late signings, which have helped, no doubt, you know. But when you have that talent, Mario, we know.
Yeah.
Talent, look, you can have all the analytics. Great. They're necessary. It's a good way to, you know, you can have all the kind of the brain for football and like you know, the tactics, you can have the scouting. If you have the talent like he does, or Bernadeschi, or obviously Leo Messi or Luis, look, you can't, that's an X factor. You just don't know. They could come out and decide they don't want to play this year and they're going to be difficult about it. Then Toronto might still be the worst team in the league, right? But if they come out and decide they're going to play and they're sharp and they're healthy, always a factor with anybody in professionals. I mean, the talent is there.
And they haven't even had a home game yet. They head home to play Charlotte this weekend for their home opener. So I'm interested to see what they do at home, Dave. And
yeah, intriguing match because Charlotte's looked very, very sharp early. Now, again, it's two matches in, or two. Some teams have played three, but it's two matches in. One, you know, Vancouver getting their first. We always overreact. Everybody overreacts. It's like the NFL in that sense, especially early in the MLS season. Because it's once a week, essentially. I mean, again, there's occasional, you know, Wednesday games thrown in. But it's like you overreact because all you have is these two matches, right? Yeah, so everybody's thinking like, oh, my gosh, you know, Inter Miami's going to destroy everybody 5-0. Orlando is awful now. NYCFC, the sky is falling, which, you know, maybe it is, but it's two games, right? I mean, LAFC lost a match 3-0. If you don't know the reasoning for that, again, you'd think like, oh, RSL's just so good. Wow, they rebounded after that Inter-Miami loss with a pretty good performance against St. Louis, and now they'd thrash LAFC. They're on the rise. Well, no, you have to factor in all these things when it comes early in the season, but I'm liking what I'm seeing from Insigne and Toronto defensively. That was a mess last season, but you know, it's cleaned up so far. We'll see. Maybe New England's just struggling too. You know, you can't, you just don't know. These teams will turn it around. I like what I saw out of DC United fighting back, Mario. Portland lost 2-2 to DC United at home. They lost 2-2 because when you're up 2-0 at home in what, 60 plus minutes gone or
ouch. Yeah.
You have to win. Now it happens, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to destroy Portland's season, but it does happen occasionally. You just can't let it happen.
That's why that lead, that 2-0 lead is very dangerous in MLS. Oof. I mean, you either get that next one and put it in the bag 3-0, or they get within one, make it 2-1, right? And then it's game on.
And that's where the people who don't believe in momentum, that's where you lose me. Because every goal changes everything in football, right? I mean, it does. So that momentum shifted heavily. And that was without Benteke. Remember, he got injured, or I don't know if he – something happened, like a little knock maybe or something before the game. I think he was expected to play, and then he just didn't play. And DC down 2-0, you could easily just pack it in, get on that long plane ride back to DC, you know, and just, okay, it's a road game against the Western Conference team. We probably weren't going to win anyway. Let's move on. No. I mean, to get a point out of that they beat Portland 2-2. That's how I look at it. FC Dallas Montreal, this was an interesting one too. I gotta tell you, man, Laurent Courtois was the right hire for the manager of Montreal. Coming from the, you know, Wilfred Nancy school, you know, he was a Columbus Crew assistant, goes back to Montreal after the 1 year where those guys are not around Montreal and they kind of languished and struggled. This team's got talent. This team knows how to play this system. Wow. Just, you know, FC Dallas is not to be messed with at home quite often. They're a pretty good team. They did get a goal from their new signing, Peter Musa, a newcomer who I'm going to keep my eyes on. Big money transfer. And Dallas could still be very tough. Don't get me wrong. But I like what I saw out of Montreal, Mario. This is an interesting club. Again, we're not going to have to worry about them probably because the only way we meet them is in the MLS Cup final. And I'll take that matchup right now if that's the way it has to go because I want to get back to a third straight. But everybody in the East, you know, the Canadian teams, Montreal and Toronto, everybody usually lately thinking like, okay, you just brush them off. No, this is – that Canadian Classique could be really special this season because that's a tough derby as it is. I don't care if they're in last and second to last place. That's a tough derby, Mario. This one could get nuts this year again because, remember, they met the playoffs for a series that was insane, the level of that derby. But I like what I'm seeing. Bryce Duke, old buddy of ours. It's one of the things we want to do on this show too, is kind of keep an eye, if you will, on the, you know, the people who have, you know, played with LAFC, been associated with the club. Bryce Duke, another good performance, Mario. I like what I saw there.
Like good the stuff. Youngster there, yeah. Can't wait to see what unfolds there with all the Canadian teams. Also can't wait to see what unfolds with the U.S. Open Cup this year, Dave. We've got news about the U.S. Open Cup, right?
Yes, that's right.
And LAFC will be participating in that, so that's another thing to look forward to, another trophy to look forward to.
8 MLS first teams, if you will, are involved. Yeah. Then some of the, you know, several of the MLS Next Pro teams, which would be the, you know, like LAFC 2, although in our case, we are one of the 8, Mario. So, yes, we will be involved. LAFC's first team will be involved in the U.S. Open Cup. Starts pretty soon. The MLS teams, like the 8 teams from the, you know, the, I guess your first team, if you will, they don't join until later in the tournament. I believe it's the round of 32. Don't quote me on that. I'll have to double check on that. I believe that's the case. So a couple more rounds before those teams get involved. But, yeah, it's good. I love the U.S. Open Cup. I'm glad we're going to be performing. I always say it, Mario, whenever we're in a competition, we want to win. And it's another great trophy. Let's go get it.
It's a little different this year. We're getting used to the new format, all the new teams and rules and not everything. But so
go win it.
Something to look forward to, and another thing to look forward to this weekend. LAFC.
If they roll a ball out, if they roll a ball out, if there's referees and they blow a whistle and they call fouls, and I'm calling that match, I want to win it.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I want to call a victory. So that's the bottom line. It counts. Also, I want to say a special shout out. We would be remiss. A former LAFC great, in our opinion, and he was one of the first, you know, Steven Betashore called it quits on a great career. So all the best to Beta. Yeah.
Beta.
Congratulations. Amazing.
It's always career. Beta time. It's always beta time, in my opinion.
Was with, you know, what, San Jose, Colorado, spends a few, you know, you spend a little time with them as well. So, but it'll always be black and gold to us. And so I think he also, he just did an interview with Max on the Inside LAFC podcast.
Yeah, go check
that
out.
If you're at the YouTube channel, check that out. Great guy. One of my favorite athletes I've ever been around. And I hope he doesn't see this. I'm not trying to kiss up to him or anything. You know, that's fine. If he does see it, Beta, we love you. All the best to you. Well, always was great to us and just a great guy. So nothing but the best to him. Now, you see it on the bottom, though, Mario. It is the next game. We move on, right? We forgot this one. I don't even remember the game we were talking about earlier. It doesn't exist. So I don't even know who we played.
Which it's one, Dave?
Fresh start. Exactly. LAFC hosting Sporting Kansas City. This one will be good. Pregame 7 p.m. on 710 ESPN, and you can hear it on the ESPN LA app if you want to join us there. 7 p.m. for the pregame, 7:30 kickoff. You can also see it at 7:30 on Apple TV, the MLS season pass. And this one you could, if you so desire, click over to My Audio, you know, who Mario and I are doing, producing the game. Mario's producing it, Mike Dooley. You can hear that because we're the home side. So if you wanted to on Apple TV, click on, you can hear the 710 ESPN broadcast of the home radio. You know, I don't know how you feel about Sporting, Mario. They're just always like a pain in the neck, you know? Like, it's the nicest thing you could say about Peter Vermes and his team, though. They're just hard to play.
Yeah, 3 dangerous players, of course, coming to BMO Stadium this Saturday. The Mexican international, Alan Pulido, always dangerous. The always tough, Johnny Russell. Shalloway.
So annoying. Yeah.
Shalloway's tough. Yeah, very annoying players there if they're not on your side. They're coming in off a draw with Philly, and that one was at home, and that one actually felt like a loss for them too after conceding that goal late in the game in stoppage time.
There was a missed call on a throw in that kind of led Philly to go down the pitch, and you know they might have a beef about that, and you know that's going to sting a little bit, but you got to get over it because they're going to be facing the black and gold on the road. That is no easy test. They actually have 2 draws so far to start the season. You're right. Good, you know, decent results. But yeah, that one they're going to feel a little undone, or maybe they should have had the win on that one. So hopefully they're still
conceding that
off.
Goal the 95th minute, I believe it was.
Such a backbreaker, isn't it? You know, like and it happens to everybody. Everybody gets a few of those throughout the season, right, where you score. Yeah. But they're such backbreakers, dropping points, especially at home. You know, and anytime you drop points like that, don't get me wrong. But, wow, this league is so – I don't want to go off too much on a rant right now. We can talk about this some other time, Mario. This league is so interesting for that. Like, you just don't know. This is not other, you know, like – Man City's going to go play. Yes, on a rare occasion, Man City will get upset or something. But really an upset, you know, upsetting Man City if you're a lower Premier League team is holding them to 0-0 at half and then only losing 3-0. You know, that's a big, you know, like what a performance. Like this league, you just don't know. You have to grind it out for sometimes 98, 99, 100 minutes.
Yeah,
you know, and just you're like I'm biting my nails in the booth doing the games, and like you, so intense. Like there's been a few matches. We'll end on this. Let you behind the curtain a little bit, like we do here on LAFC Plus. There's literally been a few matches. I'm like sweating through my shirt, and I know I say that as a joke, but like it's so tense and so intense sometimes. Getting 3 points is so big that even as a broadcaster, I'm like, you know, like how, and then when it doesn't, like you drop a, you know, big goal late, or it's like, oh, or if you fought back to maybe get a draw on the road and then you lose late, it's just like, oh, you got to get back on the plane, like all for nothing, you know, like it's just like, oh man, like.
Now, LAFC are undefeated in their last 5 matches versus Sporting KC, Dave. So we'll see how this one plays out at BMO Stadium this Saturday.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not going to make predictions necessarily, like, but I feel pretty good. Let's just say that about LAFC and how they handle Sporting Kansas City. We hope to continue that role. It will be the third match of the season. Again, airtime for the pregame, 7 o'clock on ESPN LA 710 in the Los Angeles area, Southern California, or on the ESPN LA app. That thing is great. And it's 7:30 kickoff. You can also watch it on the season pass, on MLS season pass on Apple TV. And you can, by the way, click the audio button there again if you want to hear me do that on there. Mario, great stuff. Episode 3. Can you believe that? We're rolling. We're rolling.
That's a wrap. Yes.
Let us know what you feel about this, okay? Hit us up on our social medias, or if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, LAFC's YouTube channel, comment down below. We may use some of those in future episodes. What do you think about football fit check and the fact that Vancouver ruined their jersey slightly with that, you know, white thing down the side? So all good stuff, Mario. Great things. And yeah, we'll see. We'll talk to you soon.
So you're at BMO Stadium Saturday night. Let's go.
Let's go.